So anyway, I'm here. I'm glad to see you. Thank you. I must explain to you all. I tried to set a date.
Since there's only one action item, there's no reason to change. Should the committee not assemble, then the board will have to make a decision as decisions need to be made. The minutes are the only agenda item that requires an action. And Mr. Swartz is out of town. He's trying to fly in. And my other board members have not been able to make it. He says if he gets in the area in time enough to call in, we're still here. He will give.
Can you hear me?
We can approve the minutes.
Okay, fine.
David knows that the essay that he gives to me for my presentation, basically, I want it given to the board members. So if they don't want to watch the video or the recording, they can look at the minutes that the team has prepared and be able to be as current as anyone on the agenda for this. I don't want to waste your time. Oh, Dr. Jarvis is here.
Yes, I'm
sorry. I'm sorry, Dr. Jarvis. I just saw your name. Okay.
And that's the too.
I'm sorry for the delay, folks. And if I go out in the middle of the meeting, it's because
my volume needs to go up on this.
And we can hear you.
My volume?
Nope, we can hear you.
We hear you fine.
All right. Please go ahead. I'm sorry.
Can you hear Chairman Shelton?
Yes, and I can hear you, Mr. President.
No, I'm asking Chairman Shelton if he can hear me.
Oh, sorry.
Let's,
okay.
We hear you.
Okay, now I hear you all better too. Okay.
Good. I was saying Dr. Musgrove is here as well.
Oh, okay. Is that Mrs. Rivers, do we have a quorum? I don't think so.
We're not going to have a quorum tonight.
Yeah, I just wanted to check. We had two board members who took the time
to
come.
I can still call roll if that would be helpful.
Okay. And that would be the next order of business, but I needed to give an explanation. I've been trying to make this not a contest to get into the meetings. Could you call roll, please? And we'll begin the meeting in the session.
Yes, sir.
Call the roll.
Chairman Shelton?
Here.
Dr. Harris? Dr. Jarvis?
Present.
General Schwartz? Dr. Berzone? Trustee Bell? Trustee Clyburn? Trustee Grossinger? Dr. Tard? Dr. Musgrove?
Here.
Dr. Rudd? Trustee Scott? Trustee White Richardson? President Mason?
Here.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Chief of Staff Guillory?
Here.
COO Franklin?
Here.
CAO Potter? Chief Student Development and Success Officer Latham? General Counsel Russell?
Here.
Mr. Chair, you do not have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. So we will proceed with, we have two non-action items on the agenda. The presentations, I'm confident, have been made available to the committee members or will be made available. And therefore, we can begin. Office of the Chief Financial Officer. If you would be so kind.
Thank you very much. I think Vanika is going to show us the slides. Okay. Thank you very much. I will go through this as quick as you want me to or as slow as you want me to.
Trustees, if you have any questions, feel free to ask them. Again, and the team will be available for you between now and the board meeting.
All right, thank you. Franika, next page. Is there any way you could make it a little larger? Okay. What you're seeing on this page is a summary of the budget We had a budget of $312 million total budget, of which $140 million is unrestricted. We had restricted of $108 million, and then we also had a capital budget of almost $63 million. We had actual revenues on the unrestricted side of $123 million with expenditures of $122.6 million, giving us a surplus of just over $500,000 from the unrestricted funds. On the restricted side, with a budget of $108 million, we expended about $50 million. So on the restricted side, our expenses are under 50% of the original budget. So from an overall point of view, as you look at the operating, we had a deficit on the operating side of about $28 million, $28.5 million, and an overall, including the capital expenditures, of just under $10 million. I'm going to explain a little more on the $28 million, but that essentially is made up mostly of what I would call non-cash items. Next page. So from the total operating budget of $249 million, which that includes the unrestricted and restricted, we had revenues in total of about $173 million with expenditures of just under $173 million, showing that we used up about 69.3% of the total operating budget. The amount not expended, again, relates to the restricted funds, which makes up most of that as grants. On the capital budget side, we had allotments of about $32.5 million, of which we expended about $18.8 million. And there's more information on that as we get to later in the report. Next page. We completed the financial audit for the year, the FY22 financial audit. The university got an unmodified or clean opinion. There were no material weaknesses or significant deficiencies. There were no instances of non-compliance with any provision of laws, regulations, contracts, agreements. There were three findings. One finding we have already one finding is already fixed. We have put processes in place. That's the one that says management recommendation. The other two deficiencies relates to the IT department, and those are being currently worked on. And the expectation is that by the next audit, those should go away. There were certain things the auditors reported to us, which deals with the audit cooperation. All they are saying, there were no difficulties with the audit. There were no disagreements in the audit. And, you know, the UDC personnel extended all the cooperation that they needed to get through the audit. So from all respects, we had a very good audit and very good outcomes. Next page. On the endowment side, this shows the picture of where we were for the year. We started the year with about $63.7 million. In the first quarter, the market was still going up, and at the end of the first quarter, we were like $64.9 million. And then in all of calendar year 22, the market went down. We ended the year at $53.5 million. So what happened with the endowment fund is that in fiscal year 21, we actually, the market went up and we earned about $10.1 million. And in fiscal 22, we lost it all. There is a little good news because in the last quarter of the year, calendar year fiscal 22, which is the first quarter of fiscal 23, the market is showing that it's starting to go back up. So hopefully, we'll hope for the best and hope that it continues to improve during the fiscal year 23. Next slide. And go to the next one. I'm not going to spend too much time here, but if you have any questions, these highlights here, it talks about, you know, and all it shows is the changes. As you look at the financial statements for both fiscal year 21 and fiscal year 21 and 22, it shows the changes. If you could go to the next slide, Fanika. And this slide here gives the picture relating to the asset side. The one thing I would say for those of you who may not have looked at this yet, or if you are looking at it and comparing to what was presented last year, you would notice that there were some additional lines added. You would see some new things, such as right to use assets, lease receivables, both a current portion and a long-term portion. And the reason for those had to do with the implementation of a new accounting standard known as GASB 87 for leases. And because that was implemented in the past, there were certain things called operating leases. And the board decided that since most of the assets, you have a right to use the assets when you are leasing, that those things should be put on the balance sheet instead of being treated as operating expenses. So that is one of the change that you would see. But outside of that, Fanika, if you could go to the next page. On the liability side, you're also going to see some new items, one being the lease liabilities and the what they call lease-related assets. These are deferred outflows. Again, this is part of the implementation of that GASB standard. And then we just explain all the various changes that took place during the year. So if you have any questions on that, I'll be willing to answer them. But the changes I explained within the documents. Next slide. This is on the operating, on the statement of activities. And what you're going to see is that as you look at tuition, revenue went down. That has to do with the student population, but even that we are hoping is going to see improvement in fiscal year 23. However, that was offset by the increase in grant funding from the HERS funds. So overall, there was an increase in the total operating revenue, and most of that relates to the grant funds. The operating expenses, they were increasing the operating expenses. A lot of that had to do with additional scholarships given out, and then also some increase in the contractual expenditures. Next slide. And this slide here deals with the non-operating revenue. And also the capital expenditures. As you see, from an overall point of view, the net operating position ended about almost $10 million down, the net position. And when we look at all the offsets and the positive and the negative, it really comes down to the endowment fund, the investment, the reduction in the investment funds of about $10 million is what really is offsetting and reducing the net position for the year. Next slide.
One second. The difference in lease interest in 22 and 21, I don't recall what you said about the reason for that significant change or readjustment. I don't know what to call it.
Yes. Again, that had to do with the implementation of GASB. Last year, those amounts would not have been presented. This year, those are new, but as part of the implementation, we had to also restate the 2021. So really what you're looking at there, the change is the amount of the amortization of the right to use assets.
Thank you.
Next slide. Next. Okay. Here we are looking at looking at the grants, and this is all the grants excluding Title III. And the one thing I would say that we need to pay attention to, it's, for instance, if you look at the federal grants, and this is under the academic affairs, we had $25 million in federal grants, but we expended just under $10 million. So there's a balance of about $15 million to be expended. And that is the one thing where we have to show some improvement. Some of these things are under the control. Some of these things we control, other things we do not control. For instance, you know, we may get a grant, but the time it takes to get the authorization to start using the grant, that impacts those being able to expend the grant as quickly as we want. Fanika, if you could go to the next. Next page. And go to the next page also. Next page. Okay, the situation is the same for all. So what I wanted to do was just to point out, because this here shows the total grants that we got, both from DC. So from DC agency, we had a total of about $7 million in grants, of which we used about $4 million. So we're looking at a rate. And let me choose this here because I cannot see. Yeah, we're looking at a rate of about 57%, whereas when you look at the federal grants, the rate that we're expending at is about 44%. That is one of the areas that we just need to do a better job of, and I know that is something that has been discussed. And in fact, I will be meeting with the Office of Sponsored Programs to see what are the things that we have under our control that can be done better to increase the rate of expenditures. Next slide. This is the Title III grants, and the dollars are not as significant as the other grants, but however, they are still significant. But one of the things you could see is that we had a total of about $4.4 million, $4.5 million. We have expended $3 million. So at least the rate of expending these funds are much better than the non-Title III funds. Next page. and continue. Right. If you go to the, okay, thank you. This year deal is with the capital funds, and for the 5-year period from fiscal 22 to fiscal 27, we have allotments of about $163.5 million. For fiscal 22, we carry forward about $30 million, and we had a lot allocated $32.5 million, giving us a total of about $62.8 million was available for us to use during fiscal year 22. During the year, we actually expended $18.8 million, and we encumbered another $15.3 million. So in total, between the actual expenditures and the encumbrance, so our total obligation was about $34.2 million. And that rate of expenditure is in line with what we expected. So there isn't any significant problems here. And on this sheet here, we just wanted to also present some of the notable projects that are in place right now. There are two of them that we expect to complete. The replacement of the athletics field, hopefully that should be done sometime in March. And also the student center kitchen construction that right now is the plan is that hopefully that would also be completed sometime in March. Next slide. The last three slides deals with just a glossary. And what we did was, this is what explains the various line items on the financial statements. Because of the implementation of the GASB 87 dealing with leases, there were some new line items that were added. So therefore, we also included those on the glossaries. So if you need any explanation as to what is shown in the various line items on the financial statements, this is an updated document of all the line items. Okay. Next slide. Next one. Okay. Fanika is going to put up our last slide. The slide that she's going to put up, it's more a summary of the whole financial statements. So as we look at what was presented and what the numbers mean and the big picture of the university, like we said, one from the fiscal year, the audit completed for the fiscal year, the university got a clean opinion on its financial statements. From a financial position point of view, the university is in a positive and sound position for the near future being through the next year. We don't go beyond that. From a short-term point of view, the university has a good working capital ratio, so the ability to pay its bills is not a problem. We continue to collect our receivables on a timely basis to bill and collect receivables. They were still having a challenge on the student accounts receivables, but we are seeing what can be done. Just included here the information that if you're looking at the financial statements, we included the various amounts that you are going to see that relate to the implementation of GASB. So if you're doing a comparison with last year, you'll get an idea as to what are those new amounts that showed up because of that implementation. As it relates to federal grants, the HERF funds, that would be one of the challenges for the next fiscal year, because HERF funds will be expiring on June 30th of this calendar year. The university expects, however, to use 100% of all the HUF funds, so we do not envision losing any of that grant funding. Our tuition revenue, like we stated here, did go down, but hopefully that is one of the areas that we are hoping will turn around in fiscal 23. And we did mention the endowment fund. Again, that is one of those that we are hoping will turn around in fiscal 23. The operating losses that I've shown on the first page of about $28 million, essentially, we had positive and negative, but essentially that $28 million really is made up of what you may call non-cash item. The about $10 million of it related to the reduction in the fair market value of the endowment fund. And then about $19 million related to depreciation. So that $28 million is really non-cash items. So from a cash point of view, the university still has the funds needed to carry out its functions. Going down to the bottom where it deals with the challenges and opportunities. Again, like many institutions, the university has vacancies that we need to fill. It has vacancy rate right now about 16.7%. And, you know, that would result in underspending, and it would impact certain goals that the university is trying to fulfill. Like we stated, and one negative is that the HERF funds is going away, so there are certain expenditures that will go away with that, and there are other expenditures that we may have to seek other ways of filling that funding. On the financial market side, we are hoping for a rebound in fiscal 23. Recruiting and retaining of students. I know that the university is working hard to make sure that that improves. And if we could improve the collection of our student receivable, that would give us additional cash. So all in all, you know, from an overall financial positions point of view, like I said, through the near future, the university financial position is in very good shape, and we do not see a problem, at least within fiscal 2023. Any questions?
Ladies and gentlemen, any questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, ma'am.
I had a chance yesterday to get a briefing from Mr. Lane and Arcia and Mr. Franklin, so thank you for that. And just a couple of observations. The way this budget is presented is different than I've seen before. For example, I do not remember that the non-cash items were included in what looked like a deficit. So when you look at $28 million as a deficit and you go, whoa, that's a number that we've not seen before, and then you say it's non-cash items, like depreciation, which is, I've never, you know, we've never seen depreciation included like that in a deficit, or what is the other, or the you know, the deficit in what we get from the stock market. So it just makes it a little bit more, it's different.
Yes, and you are correct. And one of the things I plan to do is, Fanika, if you could put back up the report and go to page 3. And I do understand what you thought, because the deficit here, it's from a financial statement point of view, that's where the $28 million comes in.
Yeah, no, I understood it. It's just we haven't seen it presented that way, and I don't think in the past, and so it's just a little confusing. I don't want to belabor the point because you explained it. and the presidents are looking a little quizzical, so maybe you've always done it like that.
we didn't usually have that much money.
Yes, yes. One of the things that we tried to do was in the past where it says on budget restricted funds, in the past we would show you unrestricted and restricted, and we never went down to the unbudgeted amounts. So in the past, most of the conversation related to the unrestricted funds, the use of the unrestricted funds and the restricted funds. One thing I tried to do was to say, for the person who is looking at the budget, but they're also looking at the financial statements, the deficit that we saw between budget and expenditures was different to the person looking at the financial statements and say, but the deficit here is different. So we wanted to make sure that if you look at the financial statement, you will see that $28 million and you will see the $9 million if you're looking at the financial statement. So we wanted the reader to see how we got there.
Yeah. Other observation, $9 million of uncollected money seems to be quite a lot. And that's also just an observation, but in the past, scholarship money has been able to fill that hole a little bit. I don't begin to understand the new GASB, but my only question is, does the new way that leases are accounted for make us look better or worse on the financial picture?
It doesn't make you look worse. What the GASB says is that, and I'm going to just use one example. The GASB says, if I'm renting a building and I'm paying $1 million a year in rent, in the past, you wouldn't see that anywhere other than in the income statement, because it would be shown as just in the income statement. What the GASB says is that, okay, if I'm renting that building for, let's say, 10 years, so the amount I'm going to pay out in 10 years, and from a present value point of view, let's say that amount is $9 million, the GASB says we need to show that on the financial statement as $9 million as an asset, a right-to-use asset. It's an intangible asset. And then also show that you have a liability in the future of $9 million. The amount going through the income statement is still going to be $1 million every year. But at least now you have these two numbers on the balance sheet. So somebody may look at it and say, oh, we now have $9 million in liability, but we also have an asset that we are using of $9 million. That is what they try to show, that you have an asset that you are using in the future. So therefore, you should show it.
Okay, so in other words, it's taking into account of the net present value of it.
Yes.
Okay. So I had two concerns. One of them is $10 million over in grant fund, and no, that's not right.
In the contractual.
In contractual.
Yes, and we are going to get that information to you.
Okay. All right. So the picture seems good, and thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Well, now she has me confused. So let me just be clear. So the depreciation is in an unbudgeted amount category, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's shown in the financial statements, but it hasn't been shown in that unbudgeted category in the past. But you're showing it there now, so as a way to explain what's happening in the financial statement.
Right? Yes. So the person who is looking at the financial statement, because they are going to see depreciation, if they look, they're going to see at the bottom line of the financial statement, they'll see that we had a quote unquote a loss of $28 million.
Right.
Right. And the question is, well, if I'm talking about the budget, though, it's you never hear about the $28 million in the budget. You never hear about depreciation in the budget because depreciation is not covered within the budget.
Yep. Okay.
Well, I hope that you will help us explain that at the council so they won't see that there's a big number. It's like there's a big number.
We'll be practicing.
Yes.
Not a problem.
Very good. Thank you very much. And thank you, Mr. Franklin, too.
Thank you all. If we're ready, we'll move the agenda to the report of the Chief Operations Officer. I think you have to turn yourself on.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Very good. Greetings, Trustee, President Mason, Cabinet members, and of course, the Firebird community. Thank you for the opportunity to present the Office of the Chief Operating Officer's report. The report consists of primary three topics, of which CFO Lane has covered two of the three in his earlier presentation. That said, I will focus on the last item, which happens to be the FY24 budget review team meeting that took place earlier in December 2023, in which the president, members of the cabinet, the OCFO, and members of the financial affairs had the opportunity to meet with the office of the mayor and the office of the city administrator in presenting our annual FY24 budget review team session. The presentation focused on three areas. One was the operating budget. The operating budget consists of $197 million. It's important to know in that budget, it included a reduction to the university's local subsidy in FY24 of $2.7 million, dropping our subsidy from $93.8 million to approximately $91.5 million. It's also important to know that the mayor or the city administrator has not made a determination as to whether that reduction would actually be implemented. Once we get feedback from the district, of course, I will go ahead and share that with the president along with the board. The second part of our presentation covered our capital budget for FY24 through FY29, which consists of approximately $388 million. In that presentation, we focus on four areas, which is the renovations to building 4250 Connecticut Avenue, funds for the expansion of our Bacchus site at the community college, the continuous modernization efforts across the campus, and the purchase of Old Congress Heights, which is to solidify the university's presence in Ward 8. Lastly, we focus on three enhancement requests. The first being an investment in our local talent. We titled that compensation enhancement, in which we were seeking to increase the university's personnel budget to bring salary and wages closer to the market and address internal compression and equity issues. The second item that we focus on in our presentation was increasing diversity for high-tech jobs in technology, engineering, cybersecurity, and homeland security. And that enhancement, we intended to ask for funding to hire additional faculty in key areas or disciplines which are in high-demand tech jobs through training and increasing the number of diverse graduates with associate to doctorate degrees here at the University of the District of Columbia. And the last item that we focused on in terms of our request was what you've heard us talk about on numerous occasions, which is funding to support a CRM, a customer relationship management tool. The results of our requests are still outstanding, but the university presentation went well, and the university will continue to work with the district government in addressing any questions or concerns they may have as they finalize this year's financial budget. The last two things that I want to share that's not in my presentation is that we have the annual upcoming budget hearing, along with the upcoming budget, I should say the upcoming performance hearing before the council. One, the presentation with respect to the performance hearing is scheduled for, I want to say that's March, no, February. And the budget hearing is scheduled for March. And we will send, as those dates become finalized, we will share that with the ABF committee as well. That concludes my presentation, and thank you for your time.
And again, I'd like to acknowledge that Mrs. White Richardson is here with us and thank her for coming. I know that she put in a full day's work. Is there anything for the good of the group?
Mr. Chairman, I have one question, please.
Yes, ma'am.
That arises out of Mr. Lane's report, and that is that, let me first ask the question, is the Title III money the money that comes because of the designation of being an HBCU? Yeah, and the president's nodding yes. And yes. So I'm a little perplexed about why the Title III monies are not being spent as rapidly as some of the others. Are there criteria for the spending of those dollars that make it difficult?
No, actually, I think what Ross said was that they're being spent at a faster rate than the others.
Or faster rate.
Faster rate, right.
Okay, but, I misheard. I'm sorry. Yeah, I misheard. But
in all transparency, we do have, they roll in 5-year cycles with annual budgets.
Yeah.
And we generally have carryover from year to year. And part of it is because most of it is salaries and it's tied up into the slowness of our ability to fill positions. And so it's faster than the other federal grants in terms of the expenditure rate, but it's not as fast as the budget would have us. It's not as fast as it's budgeted to be spent.
I got it. Sorry, I'm so sorry. Thank you for the explanation. I appreciate it. Mr. Chairman, thank you very much.
Thank you all. If there's nothing else, I'll accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you. Is there a second? I hear one. I heard it.
I'll second it.
Thank you. That's it. Just as formality so that we can be officially adjourned. Again, thank each of you for your time and effort. Happy New Year.
Do we need a roll call on that?
Yes, we do. On the vote, yes, we do. Thank you.
No, we don't, because we didn't have a quorum.
Okay, there you go. There she is. Okay. I also want to report that the audit officer usually makes a report at the opening board meeting, but she was out of town, so she'll be making a report of her scheduled expectations of service at our April meeting or our next meeting after the February meeting. Thank you all. Have a wonderful evening, and thank you for your time and attendance to the university.
Thank you, everybody.
Good evening, everybody.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Rivers.